Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Did you call?
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing here talking to you guys on a Friday. I guess it's evening at this point. The Wizards practice today, essentially their first practice since the regular season ended. Atlanta Hawks, their first round opponent, also got things going in Atlanta. Got some news on from both sides on that. And then the bulk of the podcast today, pal of mine, Mike Lynch, who works for Basketball Reference, the go-to site for all things stats, a former colleague of mine in town. I got him on the line, and he and I went through... I wanted to pick his brain sort of to view this series dispassionately, as the statistician types often do. Try to look at some numbers, see what we could figure out as to some potential keys. I broke that up into a couple of parts. So part one... will be today, including some thoughts on Paul Millsap, who I also am going to have you guys hear from Scott Brooks on Paul Millsap. I asked Brooks about that matchup specifically with Markieff Morris, and he had some thoughts on Millsap, and also with Brooks, talked a little bit about the turnovers. So I'll get to all that in just a second. As always, a reminder, you can find us on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting, Twitter. You know this by now, at Ben Standing or at Locked On Wizards. From my Facebook page, go to Ben Standing. Wizards Sunday, 1 o'clock, is the game. They will practice again on Saturday afternoon. My plan is to be there for that, and we'll see what happens there. I'm not suspecting too much, but we'll probably hear from Scott Brooks again, and then... couple players, not named John Wall and Bradley Beal. They spoke today, so I'm going to guess they're not speaking tomorrow, but you never know. It's the playoffs. Maybe everybody's got to put in more time, more camera time. Couple things, though, from today that's pertinent to the series. Let me get into this before I get to the interview. First off, from the Wizards' perspective, John Wall said he's feeling really good with his quad. He said he's good to go. Scott Brooks said practice today. No Jan Mahimi, as expected. And also no Sheldon McClellan. Both are dealing with calf injuries. McClellan's occurred in the final game of the regular season. He did not practice. He sounds like he's day-to-day. I'm not dismissing Sheldon McClellan. Obviously, we're talking about somebody who's likely not going to play in the playoffs outside of your garbagey kind of time situation. No offense to Sheldon. Jan Mahimi. We didn't get anything official from Brooks. Did see him walking, though. In the hall, looked to be walking okay. He said sort of a big, there was definitely, he had a sense of sigh of relief. Initially, he was pretty scared with the injury. He said he feels pretty good about it. He wouldn't give any type of time frame or anything along those lines. But we only talked to him briefly and, just sort of basic chit-chat. So we'll learn more about that in the coming days. Scott Brooks had indicated prior to the finale on Wednesday that Mahimi would be out, he would be evaluated in 7 to 10 days, which would, based on the series, means he's going to at least miss the first two games. But then, perhaps means he's got an opportunity to come back by the time the series shifts to Atlanta for game three. Now, on the Hawks side of things, Atlanta coach Mike Budenholzer today announces he's going to stick with the lineup that actually kind of worked for Atlanta late in the regular season, but it's different than what maybe we many would have expected, and that is he's going to stay with Tim Hardaway Jr. and rookie Taurean Prince in the starting lineup. That means Kent Bazemore and Thabo Sefolosha, two veteran wings, are going to be coming off the bench. The Hawks, you know, let's not forget, they won, like the Wizards, they kind of were kind of meh for the most part over the since the All-Star break, but Atlanta was actually much worse than the Wizards. The Wizards are basically at least a 500 team. Atlanta really stumbled down a stretch, but they did win four straight late to clinch the five seed, and those wins included beating Cleveland twice and beating the Celtics, and they did that with Prince and Hardaway in the starting lineup. Tim Hardaway is one of the most improved players in the league this year, and Prince is a rugged, small forward type, 6'8", 220, impressive athlete. You know, look, at the end of the day, we're, you know, we always talk about who's going to start. It's always, of course, important to remember who's going to finish. I'm going to guess, you know, assuming injuries are, everybody's healthy, and it seems like they are, that Bazemore and Sefolosha will be out there plenty for Atlanta. KL Chenard, who I spoke with in another podcast yesterday, he writes for Hawks.com. He said that Dwight Howard doesn't play a lot for Atlanta down the stretch. So could be seeing a lot of small ball action, but at least up front, the Hawks are going to go with a pretty inexperienced lineup, having Prince in there, as well as Hardaway, who's been in the league for a couple of years now, but nonetheless, another young guy. So interesting look there from Atlanta. You know, I one thing I noted, the Wizards have had the exact same starting five in all four games against Atlanta this year. The Hawks have had, I believe now with Prince, will be the eighth different player to have started a game for Atlanta in the series. Obviously, it's a different shift from early on. No Kyle Korver, that's a different look, and that's part of what part of the discussion I'll get into with Mike Lynch here in just a second. So that's the basic news, I think, out of today. I will also tell you that while I'm here, I'm going to be writing also a little bit about the stats. I'm going to put that up on BreakingBurgundy.com. I'll have news on some other website information coming up in the coming days. But for now, I'll put some stuff up there for you guys to find if you want a little extra on the game. All right, so now Scott Brooks, Bradley Beal, and John Wall all talked at practice today. On this podcast, I'll play a little bit for you what Scott Brooks had to say. I asked Scott Brooks about turnovers. The Wizards and Hawks top each are the Wizards are finished tied for first in the NBA in forcing turnovers. Atlanta came in third, but the Wizards by far had their most turnovers per game against Atlanta this season, more than any other opponent that they faced by far. So I asked Scott Brooks, what's the key to dealing with them? And then also about the Paul Millsap situation. To me, Millsap is just an unbelievably versatile performer, and he's been a guy who's given the Wizards fits in the past. You've already heard me probably talk about this a couple times with KL and also with the podcast with Danny Rurrier. So we'll get into more of that. So anyway, so let's get into this first. Here's Scott Brooks talking about Millsap, and then we'll just jump right into my conversation with Mike Lynch, part one. I will put part two up in a little bit. So here we go. Scott Brooks from Friday's practice talking about turnovers and Paul Millsap. Turnovers.
Yes.
Against them, what's the kind of key for you guys to avoid?
I think it's we have to be strong with the basketball and quick with our decisions and great spacing. And if we do that, we give ourselves the best chance not to have a turnover. And, you know, they do a great job of making you play in the crowd. And we have to be able to get to the crowd and pass out of it on time and on target. But it also helps when we have good spacing. We've worked on our spacing throughout the year, and we have improved it. And that has helped us. And we have to just continue to trust in the pass, and we have that good to great mentality on the shots, and we have to keep having that in play, and especially against a team that creates a lot of turnovers with their hands and strip downs and
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4 times gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.
Before you got it here with this team, Paul Millsap was something of a nightmare matchup for them. He took guys outside who were too big, guys inside who were too small. But it seems like Markieff does a pretty good job against him. Well, what do you see with that matchup, and how does Markieff's ability to sort of maybe deal with Millsap and help you guys overall?
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of respect for Millsap. He has, I mean, if there's a more consistent player in this league, I don't know who it would be. It seems like every month it's 18-8. And he just does it every month in every game. To me, that's a great sign of a pro. That's why he's an all-star multiple years. But he's a matchup problem. He can step out and make threes. His percentage is not where it has been in the past. But one thing I do notice, he makes big threes, and he makes fourth-quarter threes. And then he can put the ball on the floor, and he gets to the free throw line. He's as good as they get from that four spot. Keith's going to have to play him physical, but we all have to help and be ready to help, because he does a great job of shot fakes and putting it on the floor. So we have to, and then it's just not Keith. It's everybody's that has a chance to guard him. You got to do your best and make him take tough contested shots.
All right, here we go. We're going to talk more Wizard talks, and we're about to get smarter because I got the guy here who knows the numbers from all angles, even if he's going to be too humble to admit it. He's the guy that made all the people on CSN look smarter before he took a better gig with Basketball Reference. Here he is, the man, the myth, the stat guy, Mr. Mike Lynch. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, Ben. Yourself?
I'm doing all right. You know what? Can I just say, like, there are certain, like, things we have in life, you know, like we all probably say, like, what we do without our phones anymore, right? If I don't have my phone for like 10 minutes, I don't know what to do with myself. What did we do before Sports Reference showed up? I mean, how did I look stats up before? It was, I mean, like my life must have been just miserable.
Yeah, we used to have to like open up books and stuff. It was pretty weird.
Right. I mean, like books, like read. Like now it's like, oh, wait, hell, let me click this. I still one day, like I'm telling you, you could make some really good money for you and your colleagues, like, holding like tutorials on how to best use Play Index or how to use some of these things. Because even though I use it a fair amount, I'm like, crap. I figured this out one day. Now I can't remember it again. So that's why we have you here to help us navigate, because otherwise it would take me all month to figure out some of these cool stats. I know you're an NBA guy. You're unfortunately a Sixers fan, so you've not really thought about the playoffs for your team in some time. But how are you feeling about the playoffs? It's finally here. We're done with the end of that sort of unsatisfying end of the regular season.
Just looking forward to May 16th again. They got a lot of like lottery balls in play. It's a very exciting time of year for Sixers fans.
You know, when that time comes up, I mean, I'll get you back on, and we can have a deeper dive into the whole thing, Sam Hinkie, because I think that guy's gotten a totally raw deal on the whole thing. And McDonough potentially is going to have to pay get the big payday forward if the ping pong balls goes Philly's way here in a couple days. But let's get into the things that are going right or maybe wrong for the Wizards. They're about to go face Atlanta. I've been looking up a bunch of stats myself, but I wanted to get you involved because, like I said, you not only know the NBA, but this is what you do. You're the stats guy. You're the guy who knows the numbers and used to, you know, like I said, help people at CSN Washington to Mid-Atlantic now to make them look smarter on the air. So let's talk Wizard talks, and let's start with this. Typically, we look at the regular season stats and think to ourselves, okay, well, we'll find a defining stat in here. Do the regular season stats here actually matter?
I think in the case of this series, even if you're, you know, the type to say, you know, looking at the regular season matchup sort of gives like a glimpse at how the series is going to play out. I was looking into that with these teams, and you know, you see the four meetings, two of them were like the first week of the season, more or less. And you can throw those out. Those are obviously before the Korver trade, which sort of like shook up the Hawks. And then you had the third meeting was in Atlanta in late January and was a 35-point Wizards win. And that's the game that maybe most closely resembles what we might see in this series. But, I mean, even the Wizards are not the same as what they were then. And we certainly wouldn't expect like 35-point wins to be sort of like the typical meeting here. And then the like fourth meeting was most recent and was when the Hawks were without Paul Millsap, who, you know, is almost indisputably the most key player on that roster. So it's like hard to get a feel for how this series might go based on just looking at those four meetings. And, you know, you almost might as well just throw the tape out from those games, because that's not really what you're going to see on the court.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And as I was going through some of the numbers myself, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Kyle Korver, kind of a big deal for Atlanta. He's such a unique player. And he's gone. Do you take, you remove him, and that changes? Because I know for the Wizards, when they matched up against Atlanta 2 years ago in the playoffs, pretty much every game since with Korver there, it almost felt like their number one goal was, we stop Kyle Korver, take that element off the court so they don't get those kick out threes, and then we'll play everybody else sort of straight up. Well, now that changes because he's not here anymore, and they don't have, you know, there's not many guys who do what he can do. So right, it is a very different dynamic. So let me ask you this. If we can't look at the regular season, and we'll come back to some stats on the two teams, but like, if we can't really look at the regular season, and I think you make good points as to why we really can't too much. We always joke about, those of us on Twitter joke about sample size. Hey, so-and-so is averaging 14 points and shooting 63% from the field those last three games. What does that mean? But when you look at sample size, like, you can look at the Wizards in a lot of different ways. If you look at them from December 1st on, they have a great record. If you look at them from March 13th on, they're only 8-9. What for you is enough of a significant sample size to maybe have some sense as to where a team is at? Because I'm looking, both the Wizards and the Hawks more or less stumbled the last, you know, sort of 15, 20 games of the year.
So, well, like, sample sizes are a major issue. You know, I sort of feel like this season was maybe just a little bit too short. If it went on for like 10 more years, maybe the Sixers could win the championship this year.
But in 10 more years, Joel Embiid might have made 86 more amazing tweets, but only played about 86 more games.
I won't cry. It's that's sort of the trick here. And especially, with the various bench units that the Wizards have, it certainly feels like they've made a big upgrade. And I know, you know, like Bogdanovich, I know was sort of unsustainably hot when he first got to Washington, and how much noise is in some of those numbers still from that. But clearly they made like bench upgrades to the team, and their lax play down the stretch, you know, you could maybe like attribute it to, you know, they just wanted home court for that first round series, which felt pretty secure. But, you know, they certainly, you could look at it as like they choked in like getting to like try to get one of those like top three seeds or so too, because it was there for the taking. But they've got, you know, a tremendous five-man unit in their starting five that they've had all year. You know, there's not five players that played together as much this year as Wall, Beal, Porter, Morris, and Gortat. And that's been a strong unit. The whole issue that they were running into earlier in the season is that the bench seemed like it was easily the worst in the league. And, you know, you literally couldn't put anyone from the bench into the lineup without having them fall off big time. And now, like, maybe that's less of a concern, although Mahimi's health would certainly help them in like that regard. And then on the other hand, the Hawks just haven't had a whole lot of time together as a healthy team since that, like, Korver trade either. So it's hard to know exactly what you're getting there. How healthy is Millsap going to be? He's hardly played in the last month. Had like small knee operation, and like Dwight Howard's back is certainly always a concern.
And that's sort of the irony here with the Wizards. I mean, typically we always talk about, well, what could they be if everybody was playing? They've had everybody playing, and of course, again, they won 49 games. Let's not undersell that. Best most wins they've had since 1978-79. So overall, a great season. But in the last 17 games, they went 8-9, and they did it largely healthy. Yan Mahimi is going to enter the playoffs injured, and we'll see when he comes back. But otherwise, they had everybody for the most part the whole time. But you mentioned Atlanta, right? I mean, no Paul Millsap. Also, Ken Bazemore was missing games. So Atlanta's sucky record, I think they were like 6-10 over the last month or something like that. And that was with like winning a bunch of games at the end of the season. They did have injuries, so it is a little bit harder, I guess, to gauge on them. But speaking, I guess, just of Atlanta broadly, and I'm just sort of throwing this at you, but do you have any, from whatever you were looking at, any interesting stats specifically on the Hawks that you think is, you know, regardless of facing the Wizards or not, that you think is, you know, pertinent or something to keep an eye on?
The one thing with the Hawks, you're looking at a team that was like barely over 500 at 43-39. But Millsap is like going to play. I guess I would have questions about how effective he can be with how little he's played in the last month or so. But, you know, they were 40-29 when he was on the floor. And then 3-10 when he did not play. And we're talking about a team that when Millsap wasn't on the floor this season was outscored by over 6 points per 100 possessions. They were a positive team when he was on the floor. He really makes a world of difference. And if like that knee is not right, that severely hurts them, clearly. But if he can be like the normal Paul Millsap, I would expect a much, much tighter series. With him sitting out, guys like Tim Hardaway have had a chance to step up, and he's been scoring about 18 points a game over the last couple of months, you know, like dating back to maybe late January or so. And has like sort of been a guy, if like you were to ask people who's been scoring 18 a game for the Hawks over, you know, like the second half of the season, I'm not sure that many people would know that outside of Hawks fans. And he's had some massive fourth quarters and stuff, and seems like he might like the challenge of the playoffs right now.
I did a podcast yesterday with somebody who covers the Hawks, and I said basically like the Wizards have such an advantage in the backcourt with Wall and Beal against Schroeder, and I was blanking. I was like, and you know, whoever else they threw out there, the two guard, and he was like, you mean like Tim Hardaway? I'm like, oh yeah. But I'm obviously, I mean, I know he's doing well, but like, I just couldn't, like, he's not somebody when you start ranking the best two guards in the league, he's not first of mind. But exactly. Right, he's definitely had some big plays.
He was thought of little like enough that people were talking about the Hawks sort of like giving up on the season when they traded away Korver, and now here it seems like they made a big upgrade there.
Yeah, no, I think Korver works. I think when you're playing with LeBron, who can cover up so many deficiencies, and all he has to do is one job: stand on the wing and wait for LeBron to pass you the ball. Whereas with Atlanta, you know, like most normal teams, you really need to do a lot more to sustain, you know, not having LeBron, and he just was a liability defensively and ball handling and things like that.
And with Korver, there's such a massive gap between when he's hitting literally, 50% of the open threes that he gets, or, you know, it like might have been even higher than that if he actually like left them open, to him like falling into more of an area where he's hitting only 40%. You lose a lot there because obviously he has some shortcomings.
Yeah. Now, just to go back to Millsap, to me, obviously, when you say what's the key to the series, I mean, look, you know, the Wizards need John Wall to play like an all-star, then everybody stay healthy. Gortat's got to stay out of foul trouble, especially without Yan Mahimi. But I think on some level for me, Paul Millsap is the key to the series, because if the Wizards can just make it that he's not the best player in the series and he's not killing him like he has in the past, despite improvements from Hardaway, despite Dwight Howard, I just don't know if I see Atlanta having that next guy or two to really take over a series, where I think the Wizards, you know, even if Bradley Beal's shot isn't going, they've got other guys who can score 15 to 20 and, you know, do some stuff. But I was looking at some Paul Millsap stats. So let me just stat guy. Tell me if these mean anything to you. To me, Millsap has killed the Wizards historically. And I think I've said this now, that Markieff Morris was almost like they almost got him, I think, for Paul Millsap, because he can guard him kind of all over the court. Whereas before, you had Nene stumbling around at the three-point line. You had Jared Dudley, guys like that, getting overwhelmed inside. In the 2014-15 season, Paul Millsap against the Wizards had a plus – what did he have here? Crap. Oh, his net rating was 11.8 in the regular season. The Hawks were killing the Wizards in that regular season. In the playoffs, he was plus three. The series was tighter. This year, though, he's a minus 10.4. And you said he missed the one game, but he's a minus 10.4 against the Wizards. He's averaging 16.6 rebounds, shooting 36% from three, which isn't bad. But that right there, if you can get – I mean, minus 10 net rating is obviously you're going to – against Paul Millsap, a guy who's playing 35 minutes, you're probably going to win the series. But, like, yeah, that to me is the flip right there between plus 11.8 2 years ago when Atlanta was the number one team to minus 10.4 now. You know, again, yeah, it's obvious to say, but if the Wizards can keep that, you know, stay on that right side of that equation, I think they can win the series.
Absolutely. And I will say, you know, like small sample size thing here, a lot of that is from that the last time that he played against the Wizards would be that January 27th game down in Atlanta. And he was a minus 26 in about 23 minutes of playing time there. And, you know, the like Wizards won that one 112 to 86. You know, they were up 22 at the half. And it just sort of spiraled out of control from there. So it looks like Millsap, you know, in the first meeting of the season, went for 28 in a Hawks win. The next time he only shot 5 out of 14 in a Hawks loss. And then the like third time that he played was that blowout loss. And then the fourth one he missed. So yeah, like certainly if you're the Wiz, you've really got to hope for the version of Millsap that you saw in this the second and third games and not in that first one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why, and I think without Jan Mahimi, Markieff Morris and Marcin Gortat have got to stay out of foul trouble, because the only other really true big man they have behind either of them at this point is Jason Smith. I mean, they can use Oubre or Bogdanović or Otto Porter at the four, but not really. Not if you're dealing with Millsap. So, you know, they need those guys to stay out of foul trouble, because, you know, Jason Smith, as good as he is, and he's actually been for the Wizards, he's had their but he had their best net rating in the four games against Atlanta this year at plus 14.3. But nonetheless, too much Jason Smith in this series against Dwight and Millsap I don't think is a good thing.
Yeah, you probably didn't bring Jason Smith to town to guard all NBA types in, like, playoff series.
Yeah, exactly. Let me. All right, so there you go. Part one of my conversation with Mike Lynch. You know, it's good to get the numbers look. I always say you don't want to rely too heavily on the numbers at times, but at the same point, it's good to get sort of that dispassionate look. And Mike, who was, I think he's lost all passion as an NBA fan because he's a Sixers guy, he was able to help give us that. So I'll have more with Mike Lynch later on in a subsequent podcast. I also play you guys audio John Wall talking about what it means to face Atlanta again. Asked him about the MVP race. He's got some thoughts on that as well. So I'll play all that for you guys in a subsequent podcast. I know typically I've been sticking to the one podcast a day, and honestly, I'm sort of pondering what to do here. You know, if you guys are listening to this right now, I'm sort of curious, do you guys like it better half hour or less, or if it, you know, one longer one with a bunch of different components, is that better? I don't know. Those are the things I'm sort of contemplating. I know we're going to have an opportunity to have a lot more people, a lot more folks are going to be around, and you know, want to try to do as much as we can here on the podcast, but also try to get a little more writing in as well. So I'll give you guys some updates on that in the coming days. All right, let's end it there. Again, many thanks to Mike Lynch, Scott Brooks with his thoughts on Paul Millsap and dealing with Atlanta's defense.
Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Ben Standing here, signing off for now. And until next time, see ya.
Deal gets open for three. Dagger!
Home drive, off balance shot. Dagger! Not ball.